everybody. Thought you were getting Pastor John today, but sorry, you got me. I'll try to do my best. Today we will be in Galatians chapter 6, so if you'll go ahead and turn there with me, we are going to read verses 6 through 10. So Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10, and here is the word of God. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so, in teaching, we learned from Pastor John that there are seven questions to help kind of get the big picture of what's going on here. And those questions are, who is talking to whom? So there's two. About what, why, how, for what, so what. And so, our main focus here, the passage I'm preaching on, is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So who's speaking here? In verse 7, Paul is speaking to believers and unbelievers in the Galatian church. If you look at verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share in all good things with the one who teaches him. Someone that is taught by a teacher. The Greek reads like this, the one who receives instruction in the word. So we have the word is preached in church. And so in a church setting, can there be believers and unbelievers under someone's teaching of the word? Yeah, there can. And so the Spirit of God is also speaking to us in church today, to unbeliever and believer. That's to me and to you. What's he speaking about? Well, Paul and the Spirit of God are speaking to us about sowing and reaping. Look again at verse 6, sowing and reaping. And in verse 7, we see sowing and reaping as well. Why? Paul is at the end of his letter to the church and has rebuked them multiple times throughout the book, starting in chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, Christ, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, this wasn't a different gospel, but a false gospel that the Galatians were going after. A gospel of faith plus works plus the law for salvation. Paul, though, throughout Galatians, has been teaching and defending the gospel of justification by faith. That is, that you are declared righteous before God by faith alone and Christ alone. Now that's the gospel that saves. Now the Judaizers, these are Jewish false teachers, were teaching that the Galatians needed to become Jewish proselytes. That's a Gentile that converts to Judaism. And that they needed to submit to all the Mosaic law before they could become Christian. Paul rebukes them again, saying, you foolish Galatians, in chapter 3, verse 1. He finishes, who has bewitched you? Paul is saying, you fool, who has charmed you and misled you by flattering and false promises? Paul even calls them foolish again in verse 3. The Galatians continued to turn to legalism, to chase after a false gospel, and here Paul gives his final warning not to. How? Paul gives them a warning. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And then Paul gives them the law. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And so this will be our simple two-part outline for today. The warning and the law. And so we'll have some questions under these. For what? What's Paul's purpose for this? What's God's purpose for this? Well, Paul does not want the Galatians to be deceived any more or any longer. God's purpose for this is so that we might not be deceived any more or any longer. And so the Spirit of God gives us this truth. And this morning, if there's any one overarching truth I want you to take home today, it's this: for whatever you sow, you will also reap. Verse 7, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So a quick story. Not long ago, there was a young man who had a simple life at a young age. And as he got older, he started to do things his own way. As he battled life, he soon began to become depressed. Feeling that way, this young man started to take antidepressants that he saw off a TV commercial to make him feel better, and some would say that it looked like it was working. Life kept coming and going, and he started to live a very sinful life of self-righteousness, sexual immorality, selfishness, materialism, and he eventually got into drugs and alcohol. Years went by, and now this young man by himself, with no family, close, began to lose everything he had. He started to lose his money, his possessions, his mind, and eventually the roof over his head. Some would say this young man reaped what he sowed. So, first part of the outline, the warning. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Well, what does it mean to be deceived? Well, it can mean a few things. It can be to cheat someone out of something, to trick someone, to manipulate someone, baiting or luring someone. That'd be like being sold a car that has a bunch of problems when you thought it was perfectly fine. Lying to your spouse about something. Children manipulating their parents. Happens. I know. I'm guilty of that. When I was younger, I got in trouble. But here, it specifically means to go astray, wander, by leading into error, to seduce. Often it has the sense of deceiving oneself. Can that happen? Can we deceive ourselves? Yes, absolutely we can. Listen to what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can deceive yourself. Listen to Obadiah, verse 3. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. Now, this is a prophecy against Petra in the land of Edom, and it goes on to say, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth, or who will conquer us? They were deceived by their own hearts. And then God declares in verse 4, from there I will bring you down. This was God's judgment on pride. Listen to 1 John 1:18. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It happens. And James 1:22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. This is a hard truth. First and foremost, we can deceive ourselves. If you're still at Galatians 6, just go back a couple verses to verse 3. It says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, this was an exhaustive search, and I'm sure there are more references, but Scripture is clear that we can deceive ourselves. What does that look like? Well, you come to church on a Sunday, you say, that's a good sermon, and you leave unchanged. You go to a Bible study, and you leave there with just a head knowledge. You ask for biblical counsel and completely ignore it. You hear the gospel and you disregard it. You can deceive yourself. Well, who else can deceive us? Second, other people can deceive you. Like false teachers all throughout Scripture. Going back to Galatians 3 verse 1, you don't have to turn there, but Paul says, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you or who deceived you? False teachers did. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13. It says, evil men and seducers shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is part of the pattern in end times. Deceivers will become worse and worse, and we can see that today in our society. From a worldly perspective, we have psychiatrists, psychologists trying to dull people's consciences with pills. We have the marijuana and alcohol industry that just feeds our society's flesh to live in an alternate reality or to numb the pain. We can even see the video game industry and the mass amount of kids that are just completely consumed by these video games and phones. I mean, how often do we go out to dinner somewhere and we just see a family that's got kids that they are just glued to the phones? Don't be deceived. It's very sad. Thirdly, who else can deceive us? Satan can. He is the father of lies, John 8:44 says. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. And he's also got a flock of fallen flagrants that do work on his behalf. Those are the other fallen angels. He is the master of all deception. He blinds the eyes of the unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. Listen to what Revelation 12:9 says. And the great dragon was cast out, the serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. So again, who can deceive us? Well, truth is, three people can. We can ourselves. Second, others can deceive us. And thirdly, Satan can. But Jeremy, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm under grace. I've been forgiven. God's not going to do anything to me. False. God, in his infinite wisdom, when he created everything, created an inviolable spiritual and moral law. You violate it, Christian or non-Christian, believer or unbeliever, and it's going to bring consequences. Why? Why, Jeremy? That seems extreme. Well, here's why. Because God is not mocked. What does it mean that God is not mocked? It means fooled or outwitted. The literal Greek means to turn up the nose at, to sneer at, to even ignore. You know, parents, we kind of see that in kids. You ask them to do something, no. You know, that's what this is talking about here. We do that to God. Listen, you can't fool God. You can't outwit God. You can't sneer at God's law, and you can't ignore God's law. You might attempt to do so, but you're going to pay the consequences. How many times in our lives have we said, I shouldn't do this sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm guilty of it. Or we say, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, you know what you just did? You just mocked God. Has it ever been worth it? No, it hasn't. So what is the Spirit of God saying to us in this first part of the passage? He is commanding those in the church to stop going astray, stop being seduced away by error, because God will not be ignored, he will not be sneered at, and he will not be fooled or outwitted. You will reap what you sow. And that leads into our second point of the outline. Second, the law. Verse 7b, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So here in the second part of the verse, Paul gives an agricultural illustration of sowing and reaping. Sowing is an illustration of a repetitive action, repeated interest, or a regular occurring activity. This is a person's actions. And I think about the sower in Matthew 13, parable of the soils. He is out there throwing seed, scattering seed. And when you scatter seed, it is pretty much a repetitive movement. Whether back in the day it was like this, or if it's like today where we're just taking it, putting it in the soil, it's a repetitive action. This is an illustration of a person's actions. Reaping is an illustration of harvesting, gathering, or collecting. This is the outcome of one's actions. You know, have we all seen the pictures of the Grim Reaper that carries that big sword? Or you call it a sword. It's actually called a scythe. And this is a tool for harvesting. They would harvest grass or hay, and it would be swung, and it can cut all the grass in one swoop. And so that's kind of what I think about when I hear of reaping. You know, it's It's collecting. They are cutting down the harvest and gathering it. And so again, this is the outcome of one's actions. So look again at the passage. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Well, you may be asking, whatever could a man sow and reap? Great question. Look at verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So here in verse 8, Paul gives us two fields that we can sow to and two harvests we can reap. We can sow to the flesh and we can sow to the Spirit. We can reap corruption and we can reap eternal life. The Spirit of God penned this through Paul without error. If you look again at verse 8, it says, sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap. And sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap. Like produces like. It was just like with the kids. I asked them, have you ever planted a tomato and got a pepper? No. But one girl did have some seeds that I really want. But like produces like. Never ever could you sow to the Spirit and reap corruption, and vice versa. Never ever could you sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. Like produces like. That'd be like planting a tomato and getting a pepper. Planting grass and getting a tree. It just doesn't happen. Eliphaz in Job recognized this. In Job 4, verse 8, he says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Now, Eliphaz was wrong in his assessment towards Job. You know, Job was not reaping the consequences of something that he sowed. But Eliphaz was right in what he said, that they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, they reap the same. Like produces like. You reap what you sow. And so when an unbeliever or an unsaved person sows to the flesh, he can reap decay and death. And when they continue to sow to the flesh all their life, they reap the ultimate death. Now the Christian who sows to the flesh shall reap corruption. This word corruption here is a word picture of decaying fruit. You know, we've seen this. We have fruit sitting on our countertop, whether it be, I'm familiar with tomatoes. You see a tomato starting to mold and rot, and it's touching another tomato, and that mold moves over to the other one, and it starts decaying it. That's the illustration here, decaying fruit. So for the Christian that reaps that type of corruption will experience a degeneration of joy, peace, patience, and all that he has with Christ. And maybe you've seen this in churches. Maybe you see a brother or sister in the Lord that is just going downhill in their walk. They continue to sow to the flesh. They stop listening to counsel. They stop attending church. Then when you do see them, you see it in their face that they're just not doing well. It happens. They reap what they sow. Now, when we sow something, something grows, right? Or hopefully, you plant a seed, and hopefully you get a plant. Sometimes a weed, they pop up. Ugh. So what grows when we sow to the flesh? Well, turn to Galatians 5:19 for me. It might be on the same page, it might be back page, but Galatians 5:19. Here we have a list of not-so-nice plants. We'll call them weeds, goat heads. Galatians 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. This is what grows when you sow to the flesh. Ugly, ugly weeds. A quote from Stott says, every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fancy, wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company, whose insidious influence we know cannot resist, every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up and praying, every time we read pornographic literature, every time we take a risk that strains our self-control, we are sowing to the flesh. End quote. This is all too true in the world we live today. We see the sexual revolution, the homosexual revolution. We see people indulging in self-pleasure, worshiping of false gods, witchcraft, mediums that talk to spirits, all the drunkenness and being high on drugs, and we see all the hatred and war in the world. It's true. This is happening. And this is happening in so-called churches today. Some Christians sow to the flesh every day and wonder why they don't reap holiness. It just doesn't work. Holiness is a harvest of sowing to the Spirit. Here's another warning from Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:6. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Same wording. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Please heed this warning. Don't be deceived. So, here's some examples of sowing to the flesh. Genesis 4. We see God had regard for Abel's offering, but no regard for Cain's offering, and Cain became very angry. Eventually, killed his brother. Genesis 11. When the people stopped to build the Tower of Babel, God had commanded them to go forth and multiply. Instead, they stopped to build a tower into heaven, so God scattered them. Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 27, when Jacob and his mom Rebekah deceived Isaac so that Isaac would give his blessing to Jacob rather than Esau. Covetousness. There are so many more examples. These are just from Genesis. Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers hated him, plotted to kill him and throw him in a pit and say that a wild beast devoured him. Hate. They're sowing hate. On and on through Scripture, we see examples of sowing to the flesh. David with Bathsheba. In Daniel 4, we can see God's judgment on Nebuchadnezzar, making him as if he were a beast, eating the grass like cattle. Pride. Now, there is a different way. You could sow to the Spirit. You'd be better off sowing to the Spirit. So you ask, what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? It means to walk by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. This means to be dominated by the Spirit rather than the flesh. It's to be controlled by the Spirit. It's to have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. It's to have your mind on things above and not on things below, Colossians 3:2. Practically speaking, it's to be in God's Word, studying His Word for His will in your life. It's to continually be praying, fellowshipping, serving, submitting, evangelizing, discipling, counseling. It is being Christ-like. This means the Spirit of God dwells in you and is working in you. This is the Christian thinking and living in obedience to the Scriptures. This is speaking on the theology of God the Holy Spirit. Who knows what the name of that theology is? Pneumatology. Good job. And here, Paul wrote extensively about the work of the Spirit in Galatians. He first discussed the Spirit's work of salvation in Galatians 3, 4, and 5. And then he followed with the Spirit's work of sanctification in Galatians 5. And then here at Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25, he contrasted the corruption of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And so, what grows when you sow to the Spirit? Back to chapter 6. If we look at the end of verse 8, it says, you reap eternal life. Some translations say life everlasting. This is eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. No more tears, no more sorrow. No more death, no more disease, no more sin, no more sickness or suffering. We even get new bodies. Now, it's not only being in heaven with Christ. we are also blessed this side of heaven. When we are made a new creation in Christ, we also reap much this side of heaven. If you turn back to chapter 5, starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So when a Christian sows to the Spirit, that Christian can possess the fruit of the Spirit and in return have a great quality of life here on earth. Imagine this. You have so much love, you live in love for God and your fellow man. You have so much joy, you exhibit gladness in what God has done, is doing, and will do. You have so much peace in your life, you are not defined by worry or anxiety. You have so much patience, you are known for having a long fuse and do not lose your temper. You have so much kindness, you show tender concern for the needs of others. You have so much goodness, your actions reflect virtue and holiness. You have so much faithfulness, you are steadfast in your trust of God and His Word. You have so much gentleness, your lives are characterized by humility, grace, and thankfulness to God. You have so much self-control, you display moderation, constraint, and the ability to say no to the flesh. You can have this. Wouldn't you want this? Would this not add some sort of quality to your life? It sure would. And praise the Lord, I have this. Not all of them at once, but I do experience this in my Christian life, and what a blessing it is. Thank you, Lord. So what are some examples of sowing to the Spirit? Here are some. Abraham, when he trusts God, when he told to sacrifice his son. Job, losing everything and still worshiping God. Joseph, in Genesis 39, showed faithfulness to God. And in verse 2, it says, The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And in verse 3, it says, the Lord caused all that he did to prosper, sowing to the Spirit. Hosea, being obedient to the Lord and a faithful husband to a faithless wife. Joseph, Mary's betrothed, was said to be a righteous man in Matthew 1:19, and obeyed God to make Mary as his wife when the angel told him to in Matthew 1:24. James, in James 1:2, when he says, "Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Joy. Paul has many examples throughout the New Testament. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Imitate what? Love. Ephesians 5:2, "Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us." Faithfulness. Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's that faithfulness to trust Christ. Contentment. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." Last example, and let me ask you, who is the perfect example of sowing and reaping? Christ. That's right. Christ is. Christ sowed perfect righteousness and reaped eternal life. Christ came and lived a perfect, sinless life, was crucified on the cross for our sins, died, and rose 3 days later. He was seen by countless witnesses and then ascended to heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, saving all those who believe in him. Christ sowed and reaped perfectly and is now saving those who believe in him. So from the story at the beginning, this is the rest of the story. Remember the young man I was talking about at the beginning? Well, here's the rest of his story. After he lost everything, still living a sinful life, lost, confused, broken with nowhere to go, he was sitting in front of a TV watching YouTube when an evangelist came on and shared the gospel. After hearing the gospel, the young man repented of his sin and trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He began to change shortly after. He began to pursue righteousness rather than sin. He started sowing to the Spirit rather than the flesh. He started reading his Bible, listening to sermons, and within a couple years got plugged into a good church. This young man stopped the drugs and alcohol, quit his addictions, and eventually was able to come off his antidepressants and bipolar meds he was on for over 15 years. Christ changed this young man. This young man is me. It goes to show you, you reap what you sow. I believe. My trust is in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, do you believe? Is your trust in Jesus Christ? If you do, praise the Lord. But beloved, the Spirit of God still wants you to heed this warning. Do not be deceived. Be sowing to the Spirit and not the flesh. God will still chasten whom he loves like a father who chastens the child he loves. So stay in the Word. Keep studying. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep coming. Keep fellowshipping. Keep serving. Keep walking by the Spirit. But if you're here today and you don't have Christ, I especially urge you to hear this warning and apply it. If you continue to live a life of sowing to the flesh, you will reap the consequences. That consequence is eternal separation from God in a horrible place called hell, and that breaks my heart. Listen, God has a purpose for you coming today and listening. He wants you to be saved. So what must I do to be saved? Mark 1:15. Repent and believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin and your unbelief and turn to God to save you. Cry out to him, God, save me, a sinner. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So please, don't leave here without Christ today. And I'll close with this, a short poem. If we are to plant, we must also water, and trust the growing to our Heavenly Father. If we want to reap, we need to sow, and from doing good, weary, we can't grow. If we want to shout with joy and glee, then seeds of faith we need to set free. If we want to gather fruit for his vine, we must be courageous, loving, and kind. If we want to reap, there will be pruning. For God, the harvest is always fine-tuning. Thank you.